The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
2-2 pitch, and Churio flares it out to right. It sends Marte back to the wall, and it's gone! First home run of this series belongs to the Milwaukee Brewers. It's a game-tying solo blast for Jackson Churio.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The pitch. Fly ball, right field. It is deep. It is gone! We are tied in the eighth inning on the second homer of the night from Jackson Churio. Adamas, the runner at first, the pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Right center field. It is up. It is gone. Off the top of the wall and out of here. Garrett Mitchell, a go-ahead two-run home run in the bottom of the eighth inning.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Oh, I didn't think that song could get any better.
Shout out Josh in Heartland there. Sent us a little late edition. It was sometime during KBN. He said, hey, I got this for you. And I love it.
How are we feeling today, Joshy?
Feeling good.
I'm still buzzing. I'm still buzzing from the game last night. My voice is not 100%.
I was a little worried that both you and Ashton, thank you for filling in for us today, Ashton. Welcome aboard again. That we're going to be a little haggard this morning. You're both in better shape than I expected, but both being at that game, I think you can count on one hand the amount of Brewers games that would be more entertaining and exciting since, like, Nigel Morgan walked off in the NLDS.
Yeah, so I was not there for that game.
I was
at the game. So Moustakas threw out the first pitch last night. I was at the Moose game in 18 with my dad. And that was really exciting. That was a really good game. But, I mean, yeah, the eighth inning last night was just unbelievable. It was just so unbelievable.
It was core memory Brewers fan moment, especially for some of the younger crowd. I saw Jackson Churio born in 2004, so anybody around his age, I don't know if there's many better Brewers memories than that.
He's 20 years old.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I heard a stadium louder in my life that I've been to than when Jackson hit the first homer, and then when he hit the second, and then mere 3 minutes later when Garrett hits the homer, I'm like, I can't hear anything. This is amazing. It felt so cool.
For somebody watching on TV, it was quite apparent that place was absolutely electric. I can't imagine what it's like being in the middle of it.
I was up in 427, and me, my wife, and my mom went, and I sat on the end of the row because we had three right on the end of the row. After Jackson Churio hit that home run, I had some guy, I don't think he wasn't sitting behind me. I don't know where he came from.
Running up and down the aisle?
Just, I feel a big slap on the back. I turn around, and he's just there, so we give a high five, and then we just start yelling, let's go, like, back and forth at each other.
There's nothing cooler than just, like, turn to the stranger by you and be like, we did it, guys, did it.
I don't know, because you're kind of generally aware of who's sitting around you. Like, I have no idea where he came from.
Thank you to that man.
Zero idea. And it is a memory that both him and I will have forever of when Jackson Churio, at 20 years old, did something that only Babe Ruth had ever done in the history of baseball. And that is hitting two game-tying home runs in the same postseason game.
To be in Jackson the same sentence with Babe Ruth is unbelievable. And it's hard to contextualize how special that guy is amongst, like, all the great Brewers we've watched. He is one of those people that the national media is now talking about. I feel like as Brewers fans for a long time, we're always spending time going like, this guy's better than everyone gets credit for. Now everyone's like, hey, he's one of the best players in all of baseball and he's 20.
He's first 2020 season for a 20-year-old. Uh-huh. So nobody had ever done that. And then he was the first 20-year-old to ever have a multi-hit game. He's now done it twice.
Yeah.
And he's played two playoff games. But Josh Maurer, to his credit, Brewers broadcaster, he was on with us on Tuesday before the first game when we were out at American Family Field getting ready for the postseason. And this is what he had to say. He called it when it came to Jackson Chourio. Nope, we don't have it.
I'm still rusty back here, guys. Hang on. You gotta warn me.
I mean, come on.
Josh did warn me.
Well, like, I have a sound sheet. I just assume that's going to be available.
Well, the thing is, I have the audio, but the problem with when you have the audio at this, and I'm just stalling right now to find the audio. The problem with when you have the audio is, oh, look, I found it. That's so
weird. Because I get the feeling, being around Jackson and watching the way that he's gone about his business the entire year, I get the feeling that he's even got another level, an extra gear that he can move it into in the postseason when the lights are brighter and there's national television every game, the eyes of the sport are watching. I have a feeling that Jackson's going to do something really special here in October, and hopefully it starts here today.
He nailed it.
Yeah,
nailed it.
That was one of those moments during the broadcast on Tuesday when I was back where Ashton is, and it gave you like those butterflies and that warm fuzzy feeling, because there are only a few players in all of baseball that are truly that type of player that can single-handedly change the course of a game. Obviously, everyone looks towards the pitchers first, but there are a few hitters, and it feels like it's been a while since the Brewers have had that guy. Certainly Christian Yelich during the MVP run was one of those guys.
But in 18-19, it's outrageous.
Yes.
Because I remember being at a game in early 19 after, I mean, he won MVP in 18.
Yeah.
And I was there with some work people, Pratik, who used to produce here for us. And, you know, he's not the biggest baseball guy. And he's like, first base was open. Or no, first base wasn't open. There was just a runner on first base. And he's like, how come they're not walking Yelich? And I'm like, oh, because that would put the runner in scoring position. They don't want to do that. The only way they're losing this game is if Christian Yelich hits a double.
Right.
Next pitch. Just rips it in the gap. Guy yes. scores from first. Okay. All right. Maybe you should have walked Christian Yelich.
Yeah.
But I texted a couple different friend groups. Especially because you were only down by one. Like, getting that run in the fifth inning was so important.
Yeah.
Because it meant you were only one swing away from tying it at any given moment. I texted so many people. Hey, six outs to play with. You have the top of the order. I don't know what else you could ask for in this situation. And he waited no time to hit that home run. And as special as that was, because and I don't want to... Because again, like, the place was up for grabs.
Yes.
Up for bleeping grabs. What Garrett Mitchell did was even, like, I mean, his home run, hitting off the top of the wall, getting out of there. Here's what he said it was like running the bases after hitting the go-ahead home run with two outs in the bottom of the eighth.
Come off the bench kind of and have that be my first at-bat. I mean, I was amped for sure. But I mean, I think in those situations too, like, the first thought is looking around, seeing how excited the fans are. They're a big part of this too, you know, like the energy that they're bringing. After getting to second, going home, it was like, let's go celebrate with the team. They're all fired up. You know, it's just an exciting time. Like I said, you root for each other. You want the best for each other. We all are out there wanting to win. So like I said, it's like, get through a whole season. Like, who else do you want to celebrate with? You want to be with your boys. You want to be with your team. So it was exciting.
Especially because he's been... I feel like we've rooted a little extra hard on this show for Garrett Mitchell because, not this year, but the year before, he joined us early in the season. And we had a lot of fun with him. He was fantastic. Talked about, even though he's type 1 diabetic, like his favorite chocolate chip cookies. Like, we had a great time with him. Like, he was the ultimate guest. And then he has the injury last year. All right. But then he has the injury to start this year, so he ends up missing 3 months. So for him to have that moment, especially after getting thrown out trying to steal second base earlier in the game after he pinch ran for Gary Sanchez, like, I was so excited for him to have that moment.
That was one of those galvanizing hits, home runs moments that kind of just puts you in a spot where Garrett Mitchell now has just the utmost confidence. I can't imagine what it felt like rounding the bases. You're all alone out there. You just put your team ahead in the eighth inning when everybody was starting to get the, I don't love this. This doesn't feel good. I feel like we've been down this road before. And for a moment for that, for like a such a young player, obviously Jackson Trujillo is going to get a lot of attention. But also, on top of Garrett Mitchell hitting it, shout out to Pat Murphy for pulling the right string there. Pinch running was obvious.
Oh, I was ready to.
But allowing him to bat again and go up in such a big situation and totally turn the course of the postseason here.
I almost got in a fight last night.
Uh-oh.
Excuse me? Gabriel? With the guy who patted you on the back?
No, different. So this is, again, this is how I know it wasn't the guy behind me who, like, ran up and patted me on the back and we just started yelling, let's go at each other. It wasn't the guy behind me. Because there was some old ass sitting behind me who was just booing Joel Piamps when he came in.
Oof.
Like, just booing him. Oh, I can't believe Murphy's doing this. And he started booing Piamps. Like, what the bleep are you doing, man?
Huh.
It's a tough look.
Yeah.
Who would do that?
What's the plan there?
I got to be honest, though. A lot of people were perplexed. No one was doing anything in my section, but a lot of people were like, really? We're bringing him back? And I was like, yeah, I know he had a moment yesterday, but he's still a good pitcher.
I was going to say, there's been moments,
still one of your studs.
It's the guy. Yeah,
there's been moments of frustration with Piamps throughout the season.
Sure.
Obviously, one just 2 days ago, but this is he's been the horse for them.
Yeah. He's been a big arm.
He's largely the reason we're here.
He's a big arm that they needed out of the bullpen. He didn't throw that many pitches yesterday, so Murph had no issue going back to him.
Do you have a duty as a fan to turn around and be like, why are you doing it? Like, to actually say, why? Please don't do this.
I thought I did, but my mom was even more frustrated.
Oh, no.
So, Mama Neitzel, I tweeted this out. I love this so much. So, I tweeted out, and we talked about this briefly when my mom and I went to Chicago for our first game at Wrigley Field this year, about how much she wanted to boo Craig Counsell. She shows up at my house yesterday, before we went to game two, unprompted, says, I cannot wait to boo Jesse Winker.
She's one of us. One of us.
My mom is retired. She's in her mid-60s, and I can't wait to boo Jesse Winker. And honestly, I think she was a little disappointed when, you know, Winker wasn't in the starting lineup.
Yeah, that's interesting to me.
And when he pinch hit in the top of the ninth with two outs, my mom just started booing. There were two kids in front of her, like probably 9, 10 years old, looked back at her and went, you're booing. She goes, yeah, I don't like him. And they go, we don't either, and started booing with her. So my mother is influencing the next generation of Brewers fans.
I would encourage people to go over to the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account where you can see a picture of your mother booing.
I quickly snuck that one.
And right in front of your mother is the child also booing. right along with your mom. That's a great moment. I love that your mom can get fired up enough to be like, I gotta boo this guy.
Yeah.
And then thank you to the Mets for giving us that opportunity.
Giving us the last out.
Yeah.
Not only did we get to see our two young stars
hit
home runs in the bottom of the eighth, you got to put the one we all hate up in the ninth, and he got to get the last out.
I don't want to fast forward us too much here, but I'm feeling real good. About game three.
Okay, so
I was polluted mindset guy.
You were
game two, and I had a lot of confusing feelings. I had a lot of emotions.
Yes, you literally word from word, like word to word yesterday. Yes. You were all over the place.
Yeah, and part of me enjoys that because if you're not that, you're not experiencing the ups and downs of what it is being a sports fan. I don't think the Mets have any chance in game three. Can I say that right now?
You can. I'll allow it.
Because I don't
Ashton
think...
Ashton looks uncomfortable, but yeah. I'll allow it.
But I'm hearing it.
I don't think after that game, that atmosphere, the way it played out, the Mets can roll back out there and get another win on the road. That is one of those plays that is not only, I should say innings, that is not only like... changing the course of a series, but like an entire playoff run for a team.
800-990-3776. You can join the conversation. Chef Ed said, that kid is amazing. Sent a GIF along with Jackson Churio.
I was going to say, there's two of them.
I'm super excited, but I have to admit, I'm nervous, like a word that Chewy likes to use in church. Vera.
Potato?
No, not that one.
No, no.
Different one.
Sweating in church.
Yep. Justin in Middleton says, of course Jen is out. She left the Brewers for dead.
Wow. That was the dig too rude. I'm sorry. Wow. I'm sorry. That was rude. That was rude. That was rude. I know she wishes she was here, so I'm sorry.
Ashton in Sheboygan. I don't think it can be understated how absurd Churio is. Uh-huh. I haven't had as much confidence in a guy coming through in anyone since Yelich's inhuman run in 18. Wasn't even surprised he hit the second one. It's borderline expected. He is the new Griffey.
Is Griffey enough for as good as we've seen? Like, I know Griffey's a Hall of Famer, but that this guy's on a tear that is rivaled by few people in the history of the sport. The longest established sport in America.
Yeah.
There aren't, his comparables are down to like a handful.
Yeah. You're not wrong. Katie wants to shout out the double play to end the seventh inning. That was big. That was huge. The defensive side was big for momentum. And Justin wants to know my thoughts on the first base drop by Frankie Montas. He tuned in just to hear me fired up on that. Look, Justin.
Yeah.
Would I be yelling a lot today? If the Brewers had lost 3-1 because two unearned runs scored because Frankie Montas couldn't catch a baseball at first base, yes, we would be. But you know what? That gets forgotten.
Yep. Never
happened.
Because
of Jackson Churio and because of Garrett Mitchell. The man behind the calls that I am seeing you all love on the talking text line, Jeff Levering, going to be joining us later. Mm-hmm. But we do have to talk about the Packers. They do have a game coming up on Sunday in Los Angeles. We talked with Jason Wilde about that. Coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. Joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
What's up, dude?
What's up, Dad?
Hey, the Packers are still playing this week, right?
They are.
Okay.
The game has not been postponed for Brewers fever. No.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure because we've been pretty caught up here in Brewers fever. Yeah. Game 3 tonight. Again, listen to it on 620 WTMJ.
I highly recommend that.
Jason, we are on a group text message. Ashton is part of it. It felt like, and this doesn't feel like it happens a lot with you, you were, I wouldn't call you in a fan moment, but you were excited and pretty engaged in the Brewers game. Obviously, you have a long history with the Brewers, but take me through your feelings on yesterday's Brewers game before we get into the Packers.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that, Joshy. And look, I'm still wired the same way. That doesn't change. But I recognize big moments and big opportunities for big moments and great stories. And what happened last night was it's why I do this job, right? Like, now it's a little different because I don't cover the Brewers, but being there to chronicle these types of moments are what make this job so great. And I find myself not necessarily in fan mode in terms of this is awesome and I'm running around my living room screaming my head off and waking up Paul and the girls, so much as what a really neat moment. And I wish I could go to post game now and ask Garrett Mitchell questions and that sort of thing. So it was like, you know, speaking of that text, that group text chain, like, let's be honest, there is a lot of Debbie Downers and Chicken Littles on that sucker, man. Like,
me.
You're bringing out, well, Jesse too. Like, you guys were all ready to bring out Dunzo, and you went from being undaunted to being daunted to being undaunted again. But isn't that why we love sports?
It's exactly what I said today.
Right. And I mean, it sucks when it goes the other way, right? And certainly Packers fans have plenty of those moments, 4th and 26, Seattle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what makes this something that brings us all together is the shared experience of hoping for a moment like last night and then getting one. Now, I think it is important, because I'm not a fan, to say that did not win them the series. Now they have to go out tonight and do it again. And, you know, to the statistic that, you know, they're only the second team, or they're only the third team to lose game one of one of these three-game series and force a game three even, or maybe they're the fourth team. But it's crazy that most of the time you win that first game, you're going on, and the Brewers have defied those odds. I mean, we saw yesterday, right? Didn't all the other teams that won game one win game two?
That's correct. Yep.
So this is, I mean, this is a really special moment, and I'm very much, you know, we got a cross-country meet for Maddie tonight. We got a volleyball match for Sid, but both will be wrapped up by 6:08 or whatever time that first pitch is, and I guarantee you I'll be watching.
Well, I mean, the Brewers,
with
yes.
WTMJ's audio, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Levering was, I can't wait to talk to
Jim. Yeah.
He was, whoo, those are, I can't listen to those calls enough from the eighth inning from Jeff Levering last night. But the Brewers looked like they were down and out. Brayden Narveson looks like he's down and out, Jason.
All right. But listen, there is no, like, other than maybe Keith, there are no bigger fans of Gabe Neitzel than me.
Mm-hmm.
And your professionalism and your national radio chops, but that was a stretch for a segue.
Well, but
you've got a lot of good segues in your arsenal.
We're hoping he bounces back, Jason. What did he have to say yesterday when you talked to him?
My understanding is Garrett Mitchell will actually be kicking on Sunday now, because we know he can send the ball a long way. So, look. Again, the most important part of the job is making the kicks. So I don't want that to be lost in what I'm about to say here. But I really like what the kid's made of. Like, he was incredibly honest, saying basically, look, most teams, I would have been gone by now. And so I'm grateful that they're sticking by me, but I got to do my job. Now, I do think this, and Domofsky and I, because, you know, Domofsky's a big-time golfer, we were talking about this after the game on Sunday, and that was the fact that every single one of his misses, the four that counted and the one that didn't, all five of them pushed right. And as a golfer, and you know this, Gabe, you're another top-flight golfer, you much would rather have a one-way miss than a two-way miss, right?
Without a doubt.
If you're spraying the ball all over the course, you don't know what to correct. Whereas, and he took us through it. He talked to us about how his left foot, which is his plant foot, has been too wide in the games. And the problem is that he's not doing this in practice, and it's not like he's doing it on every kick. He did do it on both of the field goal attempts that he missed. But it is so pronounced. I thought this was fascinating. He said it was so pronounced that Matt Orzech, who is the long snapper, noticed it. And I props to Matt Orzech, because A, he's what, 7 yards away? And he's watching from upside down.
Yeah, through his legs upside down.
So if your long snapper is recognizing the error in your technique, then you probably have a technique issue that you need to repair. So I just thought that like, again, kind of going back to why I do this job, like, one of the reasons why is to be able to talk to these guys. And then you guys know how seriously I take the conduit to the fans thing. Like, mm-hmm. That is a nugget that if you just watch the game and you're just pissed off at Brayden Narveson for missing 2 field goal attempts in a game your team lost by 2, you that's fine. You can certainly be mad. But I like to think that it's my job to help you understand why those misses happened. And the more open and honest guys are about that, I was talking to Dontayvion Wicks yesterday about his drops. I mean, he is a conscientious kid. And I'm sure, Gabe, you saw this stat, like 80-some percent of the routes he ran on Sunday, he was open. That the highest of any player in the NFL last week. And my point to him in that conversation was, look, I understand you're mad about the drops, but the fact that you're open 88% of the time or whatever it is, like, that's another reason why you're motivated to fix the drops, because you're going to get the football a lot, especially now with Watson down at least for a week or two. So that's just the stuff that I hope people, I think people want, and I hope I deliver to them.
So with that, and that's, I love that story, Jason. And I know Matt LaFleur is saying, oh, we've got confidence in him, but how much confidence do they actually have? Like, if they're facing a 4th and 4 from the 34, are they going for it, or are they letting him kick a 51-yard field goal?
Yeah, I really hope that situation comes up on Sunday. Like that exact, like 50-ish field goal. Now,
hopefully no stakes.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like fourth and 1 and 2.
No, I want it to win it.
I know you do.
Jason Bud.
So here's another incredible stat that I think Zach Cruz from the Packers Wire website posted. In the NFL to this point, heading into tonight's Thursday night game, not that we would know that there's even a Thursday night game because of the Brewers, there have been 116 field goal attempts league-wide from under 40 yards.
Yeah, Josh, this is going to be one of those stats we're not going to be happy with.
I know where this one's going.
115 of those kicks have been made.
Yeah.
The only miss is from Braden Narveson.
Can we hang up the phone?
Here, wait. I got a sounder for you. There you go. Make you feel better.
Josh and I have been on strike against stats we don't want to hear.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing you said, Jason. We just don't want to hear it, even though it's factually accurate.
Yeah, exactly.
Just thought that was an interesting stat that maybe people that aren't ignoring reality might have enjoyed. That's all.
Jason, per ESPN analytics, the Green Bay Packers have the league lowest. They are 32nd in pass rush win rate. How the hell do you fix that?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because that is not that is player to player, right? That is those guys up front winning those individual battles, and they have not done that. And look, we spent some time talking about Rashawn Gary, and I'm not looking to beat up on Rashawn Gary and in turn get beaten up by him, but he's, you know, the expectations are so much higher when you get a contract like he got. And you know, I said this yesterday to Jason Rebrovich, their defensive line coach, like, all right, he obviously is, again, conscientious, wants to be productive. Like, there was that one clip that was making the rounds on social media of him being stonewalled by a tight end. And I asked Rebrovich about that. And even though that's a screen pass, he has time to get up the field and get to the quarterback and affect that play, and he fails to do so. And so they are obviously expecting more from their stud edge rusher that they're not getting currently. But, the answer we get, of course, when we ask that question is technique, technique, technique. But maybe the boring answer is also the right answer. Maybe he's not using, you know, his hands correctly. Maybe he's getting a late jump off the ball. Maybe, and this is something that I've had a few people wonder about, what is his go-to move? Like, when you look back on
bull rush.
His right, and you know, Tausch will tell you, and he knows, he's forgotten more about offensive line play than I've ever known. But, like, one of the things that he was able to have an 11-year NFL career for, among his, in addition to his great feet, was that he was so good at anchoring against guys that were bull rushers. Like, he was not going to back down. He may back down in arguments with me, but he's not going to back down on a bull rush. And it would appear that the book on Rashawn Gary is that going from, you know, power to speed as opposed to speed to power, you can stop him if you can anchor well against him. So, again, I don't know what he specifically is going to do, but they got to get it from everybody. And the one guy, interior-wise, who's probably been the most productive, you know, when I asked LaFleur yesterday about Christian Watson avoiding injured reserve and him flat out saying that he will. And then when I said, is it the same for Devontae Wyatt? And he immediately went into Hedgie McHedgerson mode, tells me that there's a good chance they're going to be without Devontae Wyatt for 4 weeks, or at least several weeks. And he's the one guy that has been the most productive of anyone from an interior perspective, and now they're going to be without him for a while.
Jason, we certainly appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow, buddy.
All right, boys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Woolley joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You know, I mean, the weekend is fast approaching, and we're hopefully going to have a lot of things to pay attention to. Not just that football game on Sunday, but maybe some baseball games as well. Sports and pizza, they go together great. And that's why you have to make sure that Palermo's is in your freezer. Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian, all under the same umbrella. Palermo's has been doing this for 60 years, guys. That's why they know premium quality frozen pizza. So make sure you're stocked up, sitting at home, watching a game, throw a pizza in the oven. Next thing you know, it's done, and you're having something that tastes great while you're enjoying something on TV that you love. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's. Flavor is our family's business.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What we need is a chart. And every week, we take the shirtless picture of Chew, and we move that to wherever the prediction is of how many wins that they
six,
have.
Six. Eight. Six.
Seven.
Seven. I think that's how it goes now, right?
Eight, and they six, lost, and he's seven, safe. 5309.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Fly ball right field. Hit a ton. We're tied. Jackson Chourio, his first postseason home run, ties this game in the bottom of the first.
Brewers gave up a run right away in the first. Jackson Chourio got it back. But they had to chip away, chip away, chip away. Brewers were able to come away with a victory last night, forcing a game three tonight at American Family Field. Chris wants to give a shout-out here. Don't get me wrong. Mitchell and Chourio, huge. But the biggest hero of the game, Pete Alonso's bat. Without Pete tripping on the bat, the Mets would have scored another run instead of the Brewers turning the double play and getting out of the inning. So shout-out to Pete Alonso's bat for tripping him.
A clumsy baby, that guy.
Well, yeah. Because
being be better than that.
Being in the stadium, I had no idea what happened. Like,
it was hilarious. I had a great vantage point. It was hilarious.
Well, because he hits the ball and you're paying attention, and you're thinking, okay, turn two, turn two, turn two, and it wasn't clean. And then you turn to see the throw to first, and you're like, wait.
He's not even halfway there.
Why is Pete Alonso a quarter of the way up the
base? Did you do the thing where as soon as Willie dove and you saw he had the ball, you immediately start looking to first base to see if it's going to be close? Because that's what I saw Willie get it, and I was like, all right, they got second. I'm looking at first. I'm like, where the hell's Pete?
Well, because he at? Because he dove, you know, it's like, okay, you got to get a clean exchange here. And then, Pete Alonso just tripped over the bat. So my voice is obviously not 100%.
I was going to say, I feel like you're fading in real time here.
Well, so that's a problem. I'm supposed to do Carlin versus Joe today.
You moron.
So we got to figure this out. But do I go back tonight? I have yet to get a ticket. I don't know who I would go with. Last night went with my mom and my wife. My mom has gone back to Horicon. They're building a house. They got things going on. She's got stuff going on. Like, she's not available.
She can't come back.
My wife doesn't want to go for a second straight night. Like, she enjoyed herself last night, had a good time, but I don't think she wants to go again.
Had the same conversation walking out. Turned to my fiance. She's like, I don't need to do this another night. All right. Sounds good. Guess you're not going if I go.
You want to go, Ashton?
Potentially.
Joshy, what are you doing?
I was going to say.
Where's our invite?
Joshy, what are you doing?
Where's our invite? I could do laundry tonight. That's a whole other topic I want to talk about, but today's not the day. We'll talk about it off the air.
What do you mean you have to do laundry?
I have to do laundry. It's been too long. I keep getting too busy. Okay, I was going to ask my fiance.
I've got one
question. I can't.
One question. You got clean undies?
I got clean undies.
All right, then you're fine.
You're
what are we
go.
Talking about? We're
Gravy.
Going to the game tonight.
I wear the same five things. I got to wash it. All right, I'm in.
That didn't take much convincing.
Right? Josh, are you over. In?
Tentatively.
Now, how many shekels am I getting rid of here?
Well, that's what we got to figure out. We got to figure out where we're sitting. We got to figure out all these different things.
You think Jeff Levering can just give us tickets?
Ooh, great question. That's true pro.
You know what? All he can do is say he's the worst. He says no, and we're right back here.
Yes, exactly.
But we will ask Jeff Levering coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
TBD.
No. Not how this works.
Attaboy.
Attaboy. That's not how any of this
That's
works.
That's how you make content.
What do you mean? What do you mean? That's how it works for him.
What's TBD mean?
To be determined.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be dumb. Did you hear him say to be dumb?
To be dumb. Did Joshy say that?
He did.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Fly ball right field. Hit a ton. We're tied. Jackson Churio, his first postseason home run, ties this game in the ball. It is deep. It is gone. We are tied in the eighth inning on the second homer of the night. Swing and a fly ball. Right center field. It is up. It is gone. Garrett Mitchell, a go-ahead two-run home run in the bottom of the eighth inning. How you like them apples?
Turn up the lights in here, baby.
I think we love those apples,
yeah,
to be honest. Jeff Levering, the man behind those calls, joins us right now, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for jumping on, buddy.
Hey, it's my pleasure. I'm glad you kept in the apples part. Not a lot of people heard that part.
Where did that come from?
I was thinking about taking a bite out of the apple, some sort of something like that, and I just figured, you know what? How you like them apples? Sounded good at the time.
How special is Jackson Churio? Can we, I mean, is there any way to actually put it in words?
I mean, it's incredible. The kid is 20 years old, and now he is alone with Babe Ruth in a stat with a multi-homer game in the playoffs. So, I mean, you're running out of superlatives. He's really special. He robbed a homer in game one. I know he took the bad route on the very next fly ball to left field, but he's got, what, four hits in his first two playoff games, a couple of homers. It's just unreal to watch it. And considering the fact that he's only going to get better, I think that's the scary part.
Jeff, Gabe and I were talking about the atmosphere last night in AmFam Field, and we were struggling to come up with times where you can really remember excitement of that level. Can you just take us through how it was yesterday at AmFam Field? Because I got to listen to your call and I could hear it in the background. But for everyone else who wasn't there, how was the park last night?
It was great. I haven't heard anything like that since 2018 when the Brewers win the NLCS. They win game six. And even in game seven, when Yelich hits the homer in the first inning, it's felt that loud when you're on the precipice of a World Series. I wasn't here in 2011, but I can only imagine the Nigel Morgan hit was equally as loud when he walked it off against the Arizona Diamondbacks. But I felt like in the fifth inning when Blake Perkins hit the sacrifice fly, and that's a big, big moment in the game where the Brewers got a leadoff double. Jackson Churio moves over Terang with a ground ball to the right side, and then Perkins hits the fly ball to center to make it a 3-2 game. I think at that moment right there, the fan base kind of realized, okay, we're still in this thing. And the bullpen did their job. Game number one, you could feel the lull after the five-run fifth inning, and it became an 8-4 ball game, and you just never heard the crowd again. The crowd was very present from pitch number one last night.
Jeff Levering joins us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. As great as Jackson was last night, I was really excited for Garrett Mitchell because I feel like he can be a very good player at this level, but he's been held back because of injuries the last 2 years. What was it like to see him deliver in that moment?
It was incredible, and it's been a very well-chronicled injury history for Garrett Mitchell. He's had a hard time staying on the field. And considering the fact he came in the sixth inning to pinch run and then got caught stealing to redeem himself in the bottom of the eighth inning with two outs and a man on base, that's his second go-ahead homer against the Mets over the course of his career. Did it in April last year, too. But I thought it was a great redeeming thing for Garrett Mitchell. And for a guy who has worked as hard as he has to get to where he is, dealing with the things that he deals with, having type 1 diabetes, to stay on the field and managing all that, it was a great moment for him. He does not lack confidence. He feels like he can always get the job done. He just needs the opportunity, and I'm glad he had that opportunity last night. And just a thrilling moment for him and for the rest of his teammates.
Gabe and I have spent much of the season talking about how much how different this Brewers team feels to even the most recent iterations. I saw a tweet yesterday from Sarah Langs that said the Brewers entered today 0-26 in franchise history when trailing entering the eighth in the postseason. Obviously, that was broken yesterday. What do you think has made this Brewers team different than the most recent versions of it?
And what's funny is that the Brewers hit three homers in last night's ballgame, and they all mattered. But I think that they've been so reliant on the home run ball recently that it kind of hampers what this offense can do, especially in the postseason. And you got to hit some homers in the postseason. That's not a mystery to anybody. But over the course of 162, just their ability to create pressure has been really important, I feel like. And that's one of the reasons I think that they didn't have any losing streaks of more than three games over the course of the season. They were the only team in Major League Baseball that didn't have a four-game losing streak at any point. And it's because they can score runs in different ways. And I think that this team is young enough, but also has the perfect blend of enough veteran guys in that clubhouse that they are so hungry. And I know Murph talks about that a lot, but they really are to prove people wrong. I mean, even the guys in the bullpen that did a tremendous job last night after Montas only didn't get through the fourth inning, they shut down the Mets after that. And that's basically all DFA squad out there. They are all trying to prove that they belong in the major leagues. And while the younger guys on the position player depth chart haven't had that, I've been DFA'd and I got to prove something, a handful of them have, but for the most part, they're all young, but they're trying to prove that they belong up at this level, and they're getting on the job training in the playoffs, and they did it all throughout the regular season. It's just, I feel like that's what makes this team different, that they play with this chip on their shoulder, and you can see that when they take the field each and every night.
Jeff Levering, he's going to be on the call tonight, 620 WTMJ, 6:08 first pitch, Brewers-Mets game 3. What is it about Pat Murphy that he's able to connect with this team the way he has?
I think he knows so many people in the sport and has come across so many different people and characteristics that he could walk into a room and he's going to relate to somebody. And the other thing, and I've talked about this a lot, but he's not going to change for anybody. He is who he is, and you either like it or you don't. You want to play for him or you don't. And I think that having been here for the last 9 years, 8 as a bench coach, now his first year as a manager, his voice, you would think, would change from being a bench coach to being a manager. And it's maybe it's become slightly more authoritative because he is the guy now. But he doesn't have to change for anybody. And he's going to tell you how it is. He's going to tell you where you stand. He's going to give you confidence. And I think it's a not just a great coaching tool, but a great parenting tool, too, where you do it with love and you do it with discipline. And listen, I'm going to love you. I'm going to coach you. I'm going to make you be the best person you can possibly be. And that's what he does on the field. That's what he does in the clubhouse. And I think that's what makes him so relatable to everybody, veterans, younger players, people that are coming into their own. He can associate with everybody and have a positive impact on them.
Where is the Brewers bullpen at heading into game 3? I know we were all excited about either the Braves or Mets coming in with a weekend pitching staff, but they've had to burn some of those guys, use a lot of those guys early. Do you think there's any restrictions from any of those guys out there?
No, I don't think so at all. I think they're going to be in pretty good shape going into today's game. The only guy that may be a question mark would be Pyops because he's worked in back-to-back days. I'd say Savali's more than likely down because he threw 3 innings in game 1. You wouldn't go back to your starters more than likely, Freddie, or even Montas in tonight's ball game. But everybody else is available. You haven't seen D.L. Hall yet. He could go multiple innings. Aaron Ashby didn't record an out. I know he threw 20-plus pitches, but he's a guy who's going to factor big into this ball game today, too. I would say that the bullpen is at full strength and ready to go for this must-win ball game.
All right, Jeff, I'm going to see if you can help this fan out who just texted in. This from Jamie in Orlando. So I'm not a huge baseball fan, but I listen to you guys out of Orlando for Packers coverage, but I become a Brewers and Bucks fan just hearing you guys talk about them. Problem is, when I watch the Brewers in the playoffs, they lose. I watched the night before, didn't watch last night. Does this mean I can't watch tonight? Can Jamie in Orlando watch Brewers-Mets game 3 tonight or no?
I think we should lift a black cloud over Jamie and say, yes, we're good. We need all the support we can get, whether it's in the great state of Wisconsin or even down in Orlando. Feel free to watch, but if we lose, we're coming after you.
So you're telling me you're not that superstitious?
I'm not. I'm a little stitious, but I'm not superstitious.
All right. That's exactly what I like to hear. Tobias Myers, another guy who's, you know, he's bounced around a little bit. What can we expect out of him on the mound tonight? Do they need him to go a little bit deeper in the game than what Freddie and Frankie have done the last two nights?
I don't think they need him to go deeper. I would expect maybe once or twice through the lineup, and then we'll see the bullpen. But the way that Tobias Myers has thrown recently, just really since June 1st, he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball that nobody talks about. I think he's going to go into this start and give everything that he's got. His stuff was great. He looked great against the Mets on Saturday this last weekend. The 4 or 5 shutout innings out of the bullpen after he had the opener. I think Tobias he's ready for it. He's got the temperament for it. Just as long as his stuff is as good as it has been, he's going to be just fine in tonight's game.
All right. And then finally, what time did you go to bed last night? Because I was still buzzing just being in the stands after I got home. You were responding to my messages when I reached out if you could be on the show. How long did it take you to kind of come down from what happened last night?
Yeah, it took a while. I'm not going to lie to you. It took a while. I'd say I probably hit the pillow at about 1 o'clock is my guess. I tried to shut my brain off by reading a book that was totally unrelated to anything. So I ended up finishing that book, which is great. Goal achieved.
Well, what's the book?
Just a mystery thriller book. It was fine. It was a good book. It's maybe a 3.5 stars out of 5. But it took me a while. But I will say that I had a restless night of sleep because I was still very excited about what happened and what could potentially happen in Game 3 today. It takes a while to come down from fun moments like that.
Well, I appreciate you waking up early, jumping on with us. I hope maybe you get a nap before you head to the ballpark, bud. But can't wait to hear you on the call tonight. 608 over on WTMJ.
Appreciate you, fellas. Have a good one. Go Brewers.
Jeff Levering. Again, I don't think we can play those calls enough, right? I mean, just unbelievable from
frankly,
from
bad job by Ashton not just mixing it in randomly throughout the show.
I just made a hole open for Jeff.
Yeah, that was pretty nice.
He did. I mean, and Jeff deserved that.
Okay, you want more, buddy?
I'll tell you what, Joshy. In 2 minutes, you'll get to hear those calls once again on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.